A very good afternoon to you, Professor Emeritus Peter Lynham.
How are you going, Matthew?
I'm going well. Look, it's quite a good got a good energy up here today. The sun is out and we're feeling fine.
Okay. Well, how do you feel about lighting a bonfire then?
Look, I love the idea, but I think the station manager would probably have a word. But tell me more.
Yes. Okay. So this is the great day for bonfires. Well, actually, a couple of days ago was the great day for bonfires when in Ethiopia, in Addis Ababa. You probably weren't thinking of going there to light a bonfire, but actually this event is a culturally protected event regarded by UNESCO as one of the intangible treasures of the world. And this is mezcal. I'm not sure I know how to pronounce it, not knowing the language. And mezcal is celebrated on the 27th or the 28th of September each year in order to commemorate and to hope to find the true cross of Christ. Okay. Now this takes a little bit of explanation, because why in Ethiopia, you might ask?
I'm just so you know, I'm putting some Ethiopian jazz in the background just to set the mood.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Yeah. Yes, there's some great music could go with this. The true cross has always been, well, if you know any sort of romance, fantasy type literature, you'll know all about the true cross, that supposedly the cross of Christ was discovered in 321 AD, I say from memory, and probably have that date wrong, by the Empress Helena, so that's the mother of Constantine the Great. And in this discovery, she was in the group from Constantine that went to the location of Jerusalem and shortly after Constantine became a Christian. And she asked for a revelation of where the cross of Jesus was hidden. And supposedly it was revealed to her that she should dig into the ground in a certain place. And there she came up with the true cross. And we've got to now get at least a bit of it to Ethiopia. It has to be said there are bits of the true cross, certainly in the medieval world. They were scattered everywhere. It's sometimes said that there was enough pieces of the true cross to constitute an entire forest. but never mind about that. Anyway, so these came into the hands, supposedly, of the Patriarch of Alexandria in Egypt. There were the four great patriarchates of the church, or five, depending on how you number them. And Alexandria was one, though why they didn't end up at Antioch, which was much closer, I don't know. Anyway, they end up there, and then supposedly a bit of the true cross was given to one of the branch of the Coptic church that ends up in Ethiopia. And this is many, many centuries ago. We're talking probably the 5th century. But the ritual that's performed is a performance of how they believe the Empress Helena discovered the bits of the true cross. And this is supposedly, she lit a bonfire, and the bonfire, the way it blew, the ashes fell down directly above where she should dig for the true cross. So dig she did, and there she uncovered the said cross. And so another version of the story has it that the bits were lost in Alexandria, and the same thing happened in Alexandria. Hard to say, but you know, these things come and go a bit.
Well, memories get fuzzy over the centuries, don't they?
Well, they do. But it is astonishing to think of the fact that in Ethiopia today, especially the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, which, by the way, is not an ordinary Orthodox Church, it's a branch of the Coptic Church, which is quite separate from the mainstream Orthodox Church and acknowledges the Pope in Alexandria, the Coptic Pope. And so the Ethiopian church comes under this. And the Ethiopians claim to be the most ancient part of Christian civilization. And you could argue that they maybe do preserve traditions going right back to the very early first century, because there's a description in the Book of Acts and in the Bible about an Ethiopian eunuch being converted and then going back to Ethiopia. Who knows? Anyway, how it goes is every September the 27th, thought to be the day on which it happened, or alternatively, the day on which it was transferred to, because you really couldn't have too much celebrations during Lent.
Right.
The Ethiopians gather in vast numbers in a square and Addis Ababa, and there are pictures that you can see on the internet if you look. For the commemoration of this celebration 3 days ago. Sure. And in this enormous crowd, there are all the white-dressed Ethiopian monks and priests dressed up, and an enormous crowd around it, and a huge bonfire, which must have been a bit of a challenge because they've just recently come out of a huge amount of rain. But anyway, they built... They built their true cross and burnt it. And by the way, the logs have to be wrapped in daisies. Don't ask me why.
Okay, but, I was about to ask you why, but I know better now.
Well, with a lot of these traditions, you know, fanciful interpretations are added. And whether they're actually the real reason, who would know? Anyway, by the look of it, it's a crowd of about 100,000. And when you think of the poverty and the desperate situation in Ethiopia and the way in which most of what you hear about Ethiopia and the adjacent Sudan is mostly of misery and horror. But on this day, this is their culminating celebration, and they all watch desperately to see which way the flames are being blown in the wind, because that may be the direction, not these days to find the true cross. The true cross is hidden away in a monastery somewhere 100 kilometres north of this site, so they say. But to see kind of the direction where the end of the world will come from.
Oh.
I mean, why not? Why not?
Dare I ask, where did it blow this time?
Unfortunately, all these reports, the flames seem to me to be going straight up in the air, so I am left a little bit confused about where the end of the world will come from. Maybe right in Ethiopia. It all crawls out there.
Yeah, I mean...
Aren't festivals fantastic?
Yeah, they are. that sounds like a spectacle, if nothing else. Are there any other sort of elements of it that they get included? Food or, you know, anything like that?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Can you have a festival without food?
Not me.
Festival comes from the word feasting, after all.
True, true, true.
And that's the whole, and that's why it had to be moved out of Lent, because you can't do these things on an empty stomach. No, you've got to have celebrations and dancing. Now, there's a lot more to it, but the centre is this gigantic bonfire.
That's so cool.
Just a marvelous thought, and it strikes me that this is where, for traditionally Christian countries, huge number of the festivals are actually religious events. You know, it's almost inevitable because of the name, that the feasts are the feasts of the church that are then celebrated. There aren't that many secular festivals in ancient history.
Yeah. Okay. Well. This is. I'm gonna be encouraged. What is there? Is there a name of this thing that we should be like? If we're Googling, what are we looking for?
Mescal. Look up Mescal, or look up Ethiopian True Cross.
Okay.
And you'll come across it, and you'll see the pictures from Saturday.
Oh, it sounds extraordinary. And just while you're giving me one hot tip, we're still in Ethiopian territory here. But have you been to Gojo in New Lynn?
I haven't, no.
Well, I don't know where you're at, but it's worth the, I'm going to call it a pilgrimage while we're here. Gojo Ethiopian Eatery. It's open Tuesday to Sunday, and it's very, very nice Ethiopian food.
Okay, well then I think it's really required.
It's borderline required. I would almost suggest that I would be surprised if the you know, the sparks weren't flying in their direction. It's good food. Thank you so much, Peter. Another fascinating insight into what happens in the world that we wouldn't otherwise know anything about.
Very good.
All right. Take care. Thank you.
Bye.